Hello, everybody. My name is Raja Sharif. I'm the CEO and founder of ATMPS Limited, which has created a blockchain solution for the cell and gene therapy sector. Today, I'll be talking about how we use blockchain and over the last 5 years, the lessons that we've learned in terms of the market, how using blockchain helps our particular sector and the perception to blockchain from some of the clients that we deal with. Just to ensure that things run smoothly, I'm going to be sharing one of our slide decks, which will put this whole thing into context, particularly in terms of what we're doing. So let me share our slide deck now. Now, as you can see, our solution is called Hatali. Hatali is a name that we've given it, an ancient name by the Navajo Americans for medicine man. And essentially, our platform is designed for the personalized medicine space. We are a cell and gene therapy focused platform, which means through a single portal, you can order multiple therapies. So hospitals, of course, don't have to log into multiple systems. We have one platform which pharmaceutical companies can use to administer multiple sites so they can get their treatment to different clinics and hospitals around the world. But most importantly, we're one solution for multiple stakeholders to be able to communicate and coordinate their activities. And this is really essential for a number of reasons, the most compelling being you do want to ensure patient safety. And of course, we believe using blockchain and some of these latest technologies is really quite important to help ensure patient safety. So, in terms of our sector, business is really struggling to digitize. And one of the main areas is this addiction to paper, which a lot of businesses have. As you know, the healthcare sector generally has a paper-based kind of preference. I'm not sure why that is. But as it happens, it is something that's ingrained in the sector. And this is something that we're really competing with when it comes to competition. People ask me, who are your competitors? My automatic response is to say paper. They're very sophisticated forms, very sophisticated kind of filing systems that people in hospitals, pharmaceutical companies seem to have got used to and are very, very, difficult to get to remove. There's also a lack of standard operating processes in our sector. This is mainly because it's quite a young sector. So the cell and gene therapy sector has only been around 10 years, which has many of its advantages, but also many technology systems tend to find it difficult to come up with a solution that allows the clients the flexibility to use it, particularly, of course, in blockchain, because of course the data is stored in a certain way. So, how much flexibility can you build into a blockchain system? There's a multitude of differing lab equipment and different communication methods, which means that it's a very difficult sector to get involved with. It's a very difficult sector to explain how blockchain can be used with. And it's also a very difficult sector for you to make flexible using different nodes, which usually ensure immutability and incorruptibility of data. So, blockchain and its use in the advanced therapy medicinal products, which is what ATMPS stands for. Essentially, what blockchain allows you to do is increase the transparency and the heavy regulatory compliance that is in the cell and gene therapy sector. And how we use it is essentially to create an immutable, incorruptible record, which records data such as the chain of identity, who does this particular treatment or sample belong to, chain of custody, who is involved in the treatment process, and who did they hand a particular asset to or product to, as well as chain of conditions. What was the environment that these particular treatments were kept in? And of course, in the cell and gene therapy world, if you don't keep certain items in a refrigerated manner, they can cause real harm to patients. So this is really quite important data. But essentially, what we're using blockchain is to give that operational efficiency whilst ensuring patient safety, got that cost effectiveness without compromising the regulatory needs and requirements of the sector, but also to give competitive advantage. How can we get everybody to work together, but also be competitive? So just to give you the magnitude of the problem and the issues that we need to solve and why blockchain becomes quite important, is this is what you're seeing in terms of a sample to a treatment administration process. Some people call this vein to vein. We go a little bit more beyond that, but essentially, in some of these cell and gene therapies, it does rely on you using the cells of that particular patient that's being treated. Now, as you can see here, there's a number of different parties involved, a number of different solutions or capabilities and restrictions that are involved in terms of temperature, time limits when certain things need to be done, and delivery back to the patient. The cell and gene therapy sector obviously works in an area which has cancer treatments as well as genetic defects. So both these areas really have kind of strict regulations in terms of how the treatment is created and stored and made available to patients. So again, lots of issues around data loss, data security, data silos, because some systems won't actually speak to each other, but also issues around a lack of transparency, coordination between the different stakeholders, as well as the scheduling angles, which are more about efficiency and ensuring that people are treated at the most cost-effective way. So, how do we deal with that? Without going into depth, what our solution can do is, of course, ensure the immutability and incorruptibility of data, but also compliance. There are what we call HEPA rules in the US or GDPR rules here in the EU. And particularly for health records, the GDPR regulations have something called sensitive data, which means you have to give them a higher degree of protection. And this is where blockchain really comes in terms of keeping that data quite secure in terms of the encryption process and the use of private keys to be able to store that data. But also, it has certain other advantages in terms of automating processes in the back end and real-time coordination. But the most important thing, particularly from a regulatory perspective, is that overall visibility of the whole treatment process, which the regulators need to ensure patient safety, of course. In terms of the architecture or how we use blockchain and technology, you can see a simplified diagram here. As you can see, we're dealing with not just all the different in-house systems or outsourced systems, ERPs, patient record systems, tracking systems. They're all involved in the particular solution. On top of that, you have very bespoke systems called IRTs for clinical trials, as well as patient record systems. Cerner and Epic are the best known systems that you need to integrate. Now, of course, you have to put all that onto a blockchain system. And although things are made a little bit easier with the use of APIs and the interoperability standards that a lot of organizations are coming, there are still kind of real issues about storing data on a blockchain, which then you may need to modify for it to be able to work together or systems to be able to communicate with each other. And I think we have really kind of solved that issue over the last 6 years by being able to integrate in a bunch of different companies. Now, the other thing is, of course, apps are becoming much more popular, even from the patient side and the healthcare side. Much more people want data to be available on mobile devices. And that throws up a number of issues in terms of blockchain as well. How do we control access to the data that's held on the blockchain? How does it interact with middleware? So, again, very complex technological issues that one needs to solve in this area. What if you lose your phone? What if somebody else gets access to it? Can somebody change the records on it if they do have access to it? So a number of issues which go beyond the usual concerns about data confidentiality and security. And I think that's another thing that we have really thought about solving. So can and does blockchain make differences? And if so, what are they compared to the current or non-blockchain solutions? Well, real-time coordination is an issue. And as you know, with blockchain, you can provide the same information to the same, sorry, to multiple different stakeholders at the same time. This means that you don't have the syncing issues, which they used to have in the past. Of course, they improved. But the great thing, of course, with blockchain systems is that they can be made available to multiple stakeholders at the same time, reducing the train and time issues and coordinations. If you have real-time data, you can actually deal with any of the issues or problems. Security and privacy, this is a big concern for the healthcare sector and pharma companies generally. Pharma companies only started using cloud services very recently because of the concerns about security and privacy. Now, again, this is something that's great in terms of the encryption models that are used on a lot of blockchain systems and how data is hashed and how difficult it is to unencrypt data. One of the things we get, which I'll come to towards the end of this program, is people saying, well, there's quantum computing. But again, we'll talk about that shortly. In terms of GDPR and HIPAA compliance, of course, those issues around hashing and being able to encrypt data are much easier, of course, because it's done pretty much as a default functionality. But there are also other regulations that blockchain allows you to comply with by default. So I think most people know FDA 21 CFR Part 11 regulation, which need time stamp on data records, et cetera, which is something that, of course, blockchain does automatically. So, one doesn't have to prove that your system is part of the system, sorry, part of the way in terms of complying with it because it's already done. Finally, interoperability. One of the great things about blockchain is, of course, its ability to bring data from different systems and store it on the blockchain layer, which allows us to then provide that to different stakeholders. Again, there are a lot of systems that don't speak to each other, and I think this is one of the key benefits that we bring to the healthcare sector, which is, of course, that we can store the data from different systems, even legacy systems, and ensure its privacy, security, but also effective use, which is quite important. So, what have we learned so far in terms of blockchain and its use in our particular area? Blockchain, we now find, is better understood. The distinction between cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin in particular, and blockchain, I think, is better understood between even the senior management. There's also another, I think, societal change as well. You've got a lot of younger people in the workforce, some of whom used to play around with blockchain, sorry, I beg your pardon, Bitcoin back in 2013, 2014, in the early days when it was still, $100 or something. And they understand its security, they understand its use. They're much more comfortable with cryptocurrencies, but also understand the difference of it in respect of blockchain, the underlying technology. And of course, cryptocurrencies are only one use case of the blockchain platform. We also see what I was mentioning earlier, the Sunday newspaper reader expert. So, these are the guys that will come out and say blockchain is a solution looking for a problem. They'll also not understand how the hashing process works. And then the best one that I usually get is, oh, what about quantum computers that now can break your privacy technology, etc. Now, unfortunately, education is a good thing to do, but these kind of guys still exist. They still kind of want to find out how it works, even though they may not understand the technology. And this can actually really prevent innovation within a company. So forget about our solution blockchain, selling blockchain solutions, but it's a lack of ability to save costs and become efficient that is really a problem. And those kind of individuals really need to kind of think about what they're doing for the company, as well as what we say that they don't really have an understanding of what blockchain is. Legacy equipment is still there. Supply chain is one in terms of the pharmaceutical supply chain, at least, where there are legacy non-blockchain systems out there. And there's this still, if I can borrow an American saying, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Whereas I prefer the other American saying, particularly from the Amazon company, which is that don't ask why not. Sorry, don't ask why, ask why not. So if you really want to drive that kind of innovation, it's better to ask why not rather than why, because things are moving. And with the advent of AI, of course, things are moving much, much faster. And digital kind of systems, processes, and technology are really making big inroads and changing society forever. Speaking of innovation, I think we still have an issue where we're doing lots of POCs, even 6 years down the line. And it's really can be a problem to be stuck in an innovation department because you may be there for a number of years. So it's what we really want to see is blockchain being used in anger in operations. And you know, it can be quite easy in many cases, in particular sections, particularly if companies use phased approaches in terms of bringing data on to that. And by the way, you know, it can reap significant advantages compared to the time it takes to actually install the system and integrate other solutions within it. Some sectors are, of course, much more receptive to blockchain. Financial system, actually, I'm quite impressed in terms of the speed at which they are adopting. Pharmaceutical sector, I've always found quite strange because a lot of their discoveries are based on accidental discoveries of cures or experimentation, where they tend to do a lot in the labs, etc. But when it comes to technology, they still tend to be quite conservative. And as I said, there's still an addiction to paper. I think this is changing, but not as fast as perhaps people involved in the digital world would like. And I think there's a misalignment also in terms of some blockchain companies, in terms of trying to explain what the advantages are of blockchain use in the pharmaceutical sector, but more importantly, understanding the audience for their systems or solutions. Because as I said, a lot of these are scientists, not from a technology sector, but a biologics sector. And sometimes the two don't actually mingle so well. And because of that, better commercialization strategies are really involved. You know, I always say to people who ask me to explain how blockchain works and spend, you know, a long time explaining it, which I do. And I think there is a certain amount of education that one needs to provide. But, you know, a lot of people use Google, but they don't really understand how Google gets its results. A lot of people use Facebook, but they don't understand where that data is going. So I always find it quite interesting why people are always so hung up about understanding how blockchain works. And, you know, such a wide topic as well can take a long time to explain. So, you know, what's the difference between a public blockchain as opposed to a private blockchain? What's proof of work, proof of stake, et cetera, et cetera. And although the people in the blockchain sector are quite good at understanding these issues, those who, if I come back to the Sunday newspaper expert, they're going to have read something or a paragraph and think they're an expert into it. And there's nothing you can do about that. It's something that you have to deal with and you have to help them understand. So this is the end of my presentation. Again, I'd like to say thank you for listening and taking the time to understand how we use blockchain in the cell and gene therapy sector. And if there are any questions or any further information anyone would like, please don't hesitate to contact me. I am really kind of happy to not just be at this conference, but be at a moment in time in history where I think we're really at an inflection point for the use of blockchain in the real world. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.